Recorded live from the unfinished loft project of Des's home just outside Brighton in Sussex, welcome to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. This is your no thrills, no BS, and absolutely no get rich quick or passive income promises hub. Hosted by your man, Des Hamilton.
Welcome back to the loft, everyone. All right, let's be honest, I'm not in the loft. That would be an echoey mess for something like a podcast. I'm actually in one of the kids' rooms with the microphone resting on a bed, just because around here it's got a thick carpet, curtains and loads of soft furnishings. This is why you don't peek behind the curtain of a podcast. So here we are with episode 3. Did you know that most new podcasts, they stop after 3 episodes? 90% of them. Sounds a bit like all of those other 100 to a million pound challenges you see knocking up once I got started. You rarely see a month 4 on those things. Makes you wonder. Right, let's get straight into part 2 of the Steve Brady interview. And then you and I, we can check in afterwards with my update this week. And I can keep you in the loop about the scaling up I'm doing and what this looks like in reality, because I think it's relevant to the second half of this interview and the things Steve and I talk about. I know you lot are looking forward to my tip of the week theme tune as well. We left off last week with Steve talking us through the need to continuously improve in the face of the Amazon policy amendments and the numerous changes to the Seller Central platform that have occurred through the years as Amazon upgrades, naturally. We pick up here on that same thread. Let's go. It's one of the reasons why I started the mentoring course as well. I talked about this on last week's podcast, funny enough. People really got angry that I did that. I was only selling like 7 months at the time. And how can you take a mentoring course? It's because exactly that. It took me out of my comfort zone. It made me learn more than I should have done at that stage. And it makes me adapt because questions come up and things come up that make me go out and learn it so I can then pass on the knowledge themselves. But it makes me a better seller.
Yeah. I started my career in contact centers because I've got a degree in aeronautical engineering and I've got pilot's license for helicopters. So that was my passion. But while looking for a job in helicopters, I fell into Microsoft and I started off being a Microsoft trainer, and I joined when it was the equivalent of Microsoft in the back shed. And as the company grew and became the global leader, I had that experience. Yeah. But because the software kept developing, if a client asked me, I would like to do this, can you do that? I wouldn't say no or I don't know. I would always have to go and ask. And it taught me that you always have to be able to adapt and learn new things about your industry, your environment, the technology. You have to constantly ask yourself questions in order to be better or provide a better service to yourself or clients.
Right. So with that in mind then, with all of the IT knowledge that you've got and for all of the architecture knowledge you've got, what sort of tools and services do you use now and what sort of things have you put in place now that you think sets you apart and maximizes your efficiency?
Well, I have a big advantage in as much that I was training people on Microsoft and let's focus on Excel because you have a lot of data in this industry and you have a lot of numbers. So Excel is a big tool. Obviously you have to pay for it, and Google Sheets is almost as good for what we need. But as I scaled up and there's more data and I need to keep a tab on things, I realized that I was doing the same old processes and clicking here, clicking that, copy and pasting data from here and there. And because I can program Excel at the Visual Basic coding level, I automated a lot of stuff. So I've got a custom toolbar in Excel, which I press a button and it creates a buy sheet for me out of all the products that we've sourced. And then when I put in things like the order reference and how many I've bought and how much money it cost, I press a button and it pushes it into the inventory in Amazon, and it populates a purchase sheet so I know exactly what I've bought. But you can't do that with Google Sheets. It doesn't support as much functionality, and there isn't software out there that is cheap and user-friendly.
No.
So I've got an advantage in as much that I've customized a lot of my processes, but then that means I've had to teach one of my VAs who does my purchasing, I've had to teach him Excel. But he has access to Excel through my business account, shared files through OneDrive. And this is all where you use technology to scale up. But scaling up doesn't mean to say more of the same. It means reaching out to different geographies And so my VAs are all in Manila and they've got computers, but they weren't brilliant. So after the first year, I realized that if I'm going to get the most out of my team, I need to invest in them. So I bought them two laptops and a second monitor, my first two VAs. And they were so much more efficient because when you've got a sourcing website and then you've got an Amazon website, it's nice to have one on one monitor, one on the other, and you can compare products.
Almost like people like being invested in, isn't it?
Yes. Well, that's the other thing. It showed that I'm committed to them because I didn't take the cost of the computers out of their salary. I took a chance. I mean, yes, this was a year of me working with them. You build up trust.
Yeah.
But I gave them the money. They bought it over there. They showed me the spec. I transferred the money and they bought it. Yeah, it was just a bit of a gamble, transferring 500 quid or whatever it was at one point over there. But by that time, I had built up the trust in them.
That's it. And that's the other thing that I'm learning, even in the short space that I've been doing this. There are so many gambles. There are a series of gambles, and they're all calculated risks. But there's no such thing as a foolproof system, even on selling on Amazon. It's no such thing. Talk us through how you got your VAs together then, Steve. How did you first reach out to them?
I signed up to a mentoring course. I won't name it because I don't recommend it. Too expensive. And it was essentially a rehash of Thomas Parkinson's videos. Thomas Parkinson is what I wanted to be. Somebody who had a lot of knowledge and was prepared to share it freely. He has a wealth of knowledge because he's done this from the beginning. And he's only, well, I say young lad, but most people are younger than me. But he's a very approachable guy, but he's set up a team in or a company in Manila called Fast Track FBA, Fast Track Academy. And he has a team of people out there who he's trained and they pick and train VAs.
Right.
Now, they are all from the Philippines because he's done his research on where people come from and what they can do. The ones that come through Thomas Parkinson are vetted for, are they working for anybody else? What's their background like? And they're also very good at English and computer literate. And that combination of skills and ethics and that is ideal for somebody who you want to work with and build up trust. So what I did is I paid, I think it was about 600 quid at the time, where they find somebody for you. They train them for 2 weeks. And then for a sliding scale up to 3 months, they monitor them every day for the first couple of weeks and then once a week and all that. I got two people from there. But actually, one of my VAs or my VA manager, the very first one, her son now works for me, Andre. And he's 21 and he's good at computers, good at Excel. He's even done some Excel coding for me. So he's eager to learn. Her sister works for me full time and she is great at sourcing.
Amazing.
She just gets on with it. And she's not very talkative. She's very shy, but she just knows how to source.
Yeah.
And she's just got it. Some people have it, some people don't.
In your journey, when you went through your various stages of scaling up, what advice could you give to people that are thinking of long-term scaling? And at what sort of stages should they start thinking about cutting back on the manual processes and start outsourcing or implementing software to make life easier in other areas?
I think that's different for everybody's circumstances, but what is common is that there's a relationship, a triangle of time, money, and knowledge. And if you don't have one, but you've got the other two, you can get it. So if you've got no time and you've got a lot of money, yeah, you can buy things, outsourcing, things like that. If you've got plenty of time but no money, then you've got the time to learn the knowledge or maybe time to get another job and make some money. So it is a balance with everybody's circumstances about the money they've got available, the time they've got available, and the skill set. Now, obviously, with my background, I've made my sourcing and prep center more efficient because I use macros and coding in Excel. But a lot of people won't be able to do that, so they'll do it manually. But if you're a single mum, I know a lot of those in this industry, or working 6 days a week to try and feed your family, and you want to do this as a side hustle, you have limited time available. And when you have that time available, you're usually pretty tired. what I would say to anybody thinking of scaling up is, what are you happy to do, at least for now? What do you need extra skills in, and where could you outsource? And if you don't have the money to outsource, could you network with people and provide them some skills? Everybody's got some skills, and you might find that something that you enjoy, somebody else might hate. So the very first time we got Cecilia, our first VA, I was doing a lot of sourcing myself using software and manually, and I didn't really want to pay £400 or £500 a month for, plus the £600 initially it was. So I was a member of another Facebook group, and I went in with three other people, and that foursome still exists.
Wow.
All the sellers are still on Amazon. I see them on the same sales as mine, the same listings, because we're using a lot of the same deals, but doing our own sourcing. But we had a, there are no legal agreements. We had a, I did a PowerPoint, a PDF with operating principles of, we called ourselves the Dream Team. We still do, actually. It's based on trust. We know each other's stores. We don't undercut. If somebody wants to get out their stock, they'll put a message in the WhatsApp group saying, hey guys, I just need to cut my price on this and recoup it. And some of us are happy to leave our products in there. But Cess does a lot of sourcing for us, and she knows what we're looking for in terms of ROI and types of products, but yeah, also which brands or suppliers we want to avoid for historical reasons, that we've been bitten for IP complaints or bad customer service or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really looking to see where you can expand without throwing money at it. And this is where a lot of people are wasting money trying to ungate in categories, because, oh, I've seen a product that's good, but then they have to buy 10 from a wholesaler to ungate, and they may not find another product in that brand. So they're effectively losing money. So the biggest challenge is to not waste any money unless you know it's going to guarantee a return, and nothing's guaranteed. So you have to ask advice and see what other people have done, and share the risk. If you can find somebody you get to know and trust them on Zoom or whatever, like you and I, then you go into business with them on a gentleman's or a lady's agreement that you're both trying to do it for the same reason. Mm. And you're both in a situation where you can't afford it on your own.
Yeah, I think that's a really valid point worth emphasizing on. Even at my stage, I know that gating is just something that is blown out of all proportion because people like to sell courses and packages on it. It really doesn't need to be, hello, I'm just starting, how do I get ungated? That's not what it's about. I still pass up on so many products because I can't be bothered to go through the gating process for what amounts to be very, very little investment. It would have to be an absolute stone bonker for me to get 10 of them in. I'd come across it organically. Yeah. If the deal was so good to be too good to be true, then of course I'll buy the 10. But I won't go out of my way to get ungated in things unless there's a really specific reason. And the best example I can give was just before Q4 last year, when I knew I needed to get ungated in Lego, Disney and Star Wars. And that was a one product deal. Other than that, it just, everything should be taken on its merits. But this gating thing seems to be so blown out of proportion.
But what a lot of people don't realize is that if you're gated, then it's the big boys with the money and the wholesale deals who have essentially bought the brands. And even if you get ungated, you're very unlikely as an individual to be able to compete with the prices of the people who do wholesale.
That's a good
point. Also, more and more, Amazon are moving away from gating categories when I started a few years ago, to brands gating themselves or ungating themselves. And you'll notice these days that sometimes if you click on ungate, you'll have to watch a little video, tick a few boxes, and you're ungated.
Yeah.
But also, more and more, as you maintain your account health, over time, you click ungate and you'll get automatically ungated, quote, based on your performance history. And that's quite a nice thing. It's almost like your first sale email is, congratulations, you've been ungated, or you've been approved to sell this brand based on your performance history, which is a nice little boost to the morale.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so if you were to go back and start all over again, what bit of advice would your future self give to you that you think you wish you knew?
I would learn to do everything myself, which I actually did. So I wouldn't change that. I would do a lot of the prep myself initially. I would use software free trials to understand where people are buying things from. But that lesson also shows me that if it's free and anybody can sign up to it, it's like a wholesaler. If anybody can open an account with them, then that's the easiest barrier. Everybody will. Boots and Tesco's and everywhere that anybody can access easily, especially with free software and trials, then I actually don't rely on those anymore. I don't use software to find products because everybody's using them because they want to save time. It is really going outside the norm. If it's available on software for a free trial, you actually don't want to rely on that long term. Maybe buy a few, test the process. But as you get more established and you understand the full end-to-end cycle, then you need to go off the beaten track a bit. But also, because of my background, I'm able to develop software which is saving me a lot of time. And that's something I want to bring to the industry for wholesale and for retail, to automate a lot of the mind-blowingly boring searches that people have to do. But the most important thing I would say to my former self is to save as much money as you can for investing into products, because that's where the return is going to be. Yeah. 20, 30, 40% return on investment on a pound is money that you wouldn't have if you spent a pound on a ungating or something like that. Protect what little time and money you've got. Use it wisely. Get as much information for free. If you're able to invest in a mentoring course like yours, for example, make sure that the mentor is able to provide support and experience afterwards, not just point you to a YouTube video or some PDFs. It's a relationship you're buying and support ongoing. That's what's going to be effective, and that's what's going to get you on the way to success, really.
Yeah.
But only outsource when you really can afford it without damaging your capital to invest in products. And when you really have to, when your living room is overflowing with cardboard boxes and, you know, toys and everything that you're prepping, and you've had so much of Netflix that you can't stand another series.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. And that's why I ended up using you for my prep service, because my kitchen was just overloaded with cardboard boxes that I didn't pay for. I'm going to throw that one out there once again. All right, well, I think we'll leave it there for this one, Steve, but by all means, mate, business partner, mentor partner, the whole lot, you can come back.
All right, thank you.
And there it is. You know, I've listened back to this thing a few times now, especially in the edit, and I've learned an awful lot from the experiences that Steve has had. I'm really grateful to have him on board. So in terms of my own growth, you know what, these last few weeks, it feels like I'm in a bit of a dreamland. Since our newest family member came into the world at the end of June, I used the paternity leave that I got from my day job to get proper strategizing and put things in place for what will be the next level of my business journey. On the mentoring course I run, I talk about this crossroads a lot. That point in your journey when you think, right, do I sit here and do I collect my few hundred pounds each month to help with the bills or help fund a date night or a day trip? Or do I kick on? And do I shoot for the moon? And that's entirely up to everybody's individual expectations and needs. Well, as you know, I'm going for the moon. So I took the time available to me. I had 3 weeks off and I got to work using this network I created and I got cracking. And I want you to think about what Steve said as I'm telling you this, because there's this really surreal feeling that I can't shake as it's being played out. And I think it's going to take a bit of time to settle in, because it's like I'm living in some alternate reality. Because all of a sudden, the fabled 10K a month, who decided 10K a month, by the way, the fabled 10K a month is actually in scope. I mean, it's a way down the road, mind you. And as you know, the Hollies say, the road is long with many a winding turn. But I am seeing the dreams and I'm seeing the plans and aspirations that I scribbled down on notepads or daydreamed about on my daily commute actually come to life. It's actually happening. I've now got incomings and outgoings on services and people that fall outside of the usual side hustle parameters. And I've got initiatives and projects on the horizon that I can say really without exaggeration, they should accelerate everything. We're in full business growth mode. Now, I'm fully prepared too that as a result of these things, in the next month or so, I'm very likely not going to hit the dizzy heights in terms of the money coming in that I've been experiencing these last few months. I highly, highly doubt I'll hit my 30% goal this month, just because, for example, I paid well over £1,500 out on various things that I'm classing as investments. Watch this space, right? Because news will be coming. So let's talk about how I'm actually doing it in real terms. First of all, I'm sharing a virtual assistant now. Can you believe that? This is so weird. In less than a year, an actual VA now is helping me source these items. I've become one of those guys. Mind you, I really want to spell this out. I haven't stopped my own sourcing and I won't. I'm still at it and I will never stop it entirely, purely because I train others in how to do it now. So I need to keep updated on the latest trends and the latest methods, and I need to walk the walk, which leads me perfectly onto my tip of the week. Let me digress slightly. Roll it. Tip of the week. If you're in the market and you're buying a course or a mentor program, any one of them can be perfectly serviceable for whatever it is you want to do. But please do your checks. Ask yourself if the person you're bringing in does their own sourcing, their own prep, their own deal analysis, their own inventory management. You'll be surprised how many gave it up years ago. Don't assume that the six-year seller knows how to source in 2023. Tip of the week. Right, back to my scaling up story. Come on. So we've covered the VA that I'm using. Next up is my ride or die, my wife. As well as the life admin and the family management that she always does, she is fully in the game with our processes now. So she's taken on the role of doing the analysis of the deals that come through, the handling and the buying of the stock. She's also taken over the bookkeeping and the other admin that comes along with buying and selling. I've already outsourced my prep. As you know, Steve takes care of my prep with his e-com support services prep center, which is £1 per unit, by the way. Thoroughly recommend them. Tell him I sent you. This means more time, more efficiency, and let's be honest, much less chance of me messing things up. And the other big thing that I've done this week is that I've brought on board a video editor. And eventually, I've got no doubt I'll bring her in so you can all meet her. She's my video editor and my content manager, which means better content for you guys spread across TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, this very podcast. So not only are the quality of the posts going to get better, I can do more of them and still have more time on my hands. But with all of this growth and all of these changes, there's one thing I want you to remember from my point of view when I talk about scaling. Scaling up isn't just about numbers or profits. It's about dreams turning into plans and plans turning into reality. And it's something I like to talk about a lot. It's a testimony that when you pour your heart, your soul, and your endless cups of tea into something, the universe, whatever you want to call it, it does listen. But I tell you what, this is just the beginning. We're only getting started. For any musical fans out there, I'm a Hamilton. There's a million things I haven't done. But just you wait. Okay, let's call it a wrap on episode 3. Next week, we're going to have someone new in the guest chair. Two people, in fact. We're going to be talking to two people that are new on their journey, newer than me. And we're going to pick their brains, discover their stories, their motivations, and their plans for changing their life in the cost of living crisis of 2023. And we're going to say together, come on, you can come with me. Goodbye, poor. Hello, rich. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and a comment on whatever platform you're choosing to use for your podcast enjoyment. Come and say hello on the Facebook group too, and let me see if I can help you. Cheers all. Here comes the music. Here comes the voiceover. See you next week. Take care.
Be sure to join us next time for another dose of inspiration and insights into e-commerce and entrepreneurship. And who knows, by then, Des may well have finished that love project. And always remember, it's time to say goodbye, poor. Hello, rich. This podcast is designed to educate, inform, and inspire, and it should not be considered as financial advice. We know times are tough, and if you are struggling financially, please seek help from an appropriate organisation. Remember, you should always consult with a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.